3. A distorted grin sliced Onimi's crooked head in a sign of mock regard.
"Sweet Nanyem," he croaked. "How delightful your presence."
"How disgusting yours,"
Nanyem thought. She did not say it, and she did not need to. The tendrils of her headdress writhed and curled in revulsion, and her multi-fingered master's hand spasmed into a knot. If the Supreme Overlord's jester noticed any of this, he made no sign, but stood there grinning at her as if they were close creshmates sharing a joke.
They weren't.
She was the most important of all shapers, and he was an appalling example of a shamed one, a being upon whom the gods had placed a permanent stamp of unreserved disapproval. Why Shimra, the chosen of the gods, the supreme overlord of her entire species, should choose him as emissary was utterly beyond her comprehension. It was more than an affront. It was a misery to even be in his presence, especially when she remembered, and she could hardly forget, that those fingers had once touched her when he had disguised himself as a master shaper. For that alone, he deserved the most ignominious death imaginable. She had plotted his murder even when she believed him to be her superior and blessed by the gods. Now, when she had the means at her disposal and knew what he really was, she did not dare. But she could still dream. Onimi simpered and smiled.
"Your thoughts croon toward me," he said. "Your tendrils ache for my touch. So much I can see of you, Nanyem."
Well, he had noticed something, she reflected. He merely mistook her passion. "Have you come on some errand, Onimi, or merely to waste my time in foolish conversation?"
"Conversation is not foolish that begs the fool," Onimi said, winking, as if that actually meant something.
"Yes, as you wish," she said, sighing. "Do you bring word from the Supreme Overlord?"
"I bring a dainty," Onimi said. "A glistering pustule from the gods. A gift for my sweet little—"
"Address me as master," Nanyem said stiffly. "I am no little anything of yours. And come to the point. Whatever else the Supreme Overlord wants of me, I doubt he wants much of my time taken up, not with so much that needs doing." From the corner of her eye, she caught one of her assistants suppressing a smile and reminded herself to reprimand her later. Onimi's eyes went wide, and then he set a finger to his lips, leaned near, and whispered,
"Fleeting time laps hours, devours days, months, and years, passes them like gas."
She said nothing. What other response was there? But Onimi gestured, and with a great deal of reluctance, she followed him down the mycoluminescent corridor of her central Damutek, through the laboratories where she worked her heretical science to produce the miracles the Yuuzhan Vong needed to take their rightful place in a galaxy of infidels. When they passed into a corridor secured even from her, she began to grow intrigued, and more easily ignored the off-key singing of the jester, who was blasphemously describing in ancient octameter certain activities of the goddess Yunharla, of which Nanyem, thankfully, had never heard. Of course, that was spoiled now. At last they arrived in a dim space. Something irregular and large bulked ahead. Light was in it, a faint, shifting radiance so delicate it could almost be the colors of the dark behind her eyes. She walked nearer, her shaping fingers outstretched to feel and taste the surface. It was smooth, almost slick. It tasted of long carbon chains and water and silicates. It tasted quick and familiar.
"This is alive," she whispered.
"What is this?" She gestured impatiently. "I need more light."
"Eyes are the senses' gluttons," Onimi chortled. "They always want more, but they often tell us less."
But brighter lights came up, revealing the thing. Sleek, that was the first impression. The glass-like surface curved into four long lozenges that sharpened almost to needles on one end and ended rounded on the other. The lobes were joined around a central axis, though she could not see how. She was reminded of the Tuffer, a sea creature that existed now only as a genetic blueprint in the memory casa of the shapers, and in its biotechnological derivatives. Damaged, that was the second impression. The life that hummed beneath her fingers flickered in some places and was absent in others, where the hull, yes, hull, had gone dark.
This is a ship,
Nenya murmured, more to herself than to the useless Onimi.
A living ship, but not Yuuzhan Vong. This came from one of the infidel peoples?
Folds the mystery and folds again to crumple. Our chart is all torn.
You mean you don't know? Nen Yim asked impatiently. For answer, Onimi reached for her. Her tendrils prickled, bumps rose on her flesh, and her nostrils flared. But he did not touch her. He handed her something instead, a small, portable casa.
Secrets are like knives, he said softly. Of your tongue a secret make, and your mouth is cut.
He left then, and she watched him go with disdain. Idiotic to warn her of secrets. She was a heretic secretly kept by the supreme overlord. Everything she did was done in obscurity.
Master Nenyim?
Nenyim looked up from the casa. Her junior assistant, Kila Quad, stood a few feet away, a look of great concern on her face.
Adept,
Nenyim acknowledged softly.
I hope it is not too impertinent, but my project—
I will examine your progress in due time, Nenyim said. My time. Kila Quad's tendrils retracted a bit.
Yes, Master Yim,
she replied.
And Adept?
Yes, Master Yim.
I understand you are not used to the presence of Onimi and the effect he can have, but I will not have my subordinates laughing behind my back. Is that understood? The Adept's eyes grew round with consternation.
Master Yim, you cannot believe—
Do not use the word can in reference to me, Adept, in either the affirmative or negative form. What I can and cannot do is entirely beyond your control.
Yes, Master.
Nemyun sighed. It is bad enough, Adept, that we have to bear the presence of such an abomination. It is worse to let him know he has caused amusement.
I understand, Master Yim, but why? Why must we bear his presence at all? He is a shamed one, cursed by the gods.
He is Supreme Overlord Shimra's jester and, when it pleases him, his emissary.
I don't understand. How can such a thing be? A jester, yes, but to entrust him with secret information—
What secret information might that be, Adept? Nen Yim asked sharply.
Your pardon, Master Yim, but the jester came, took you to the restricted area, and you returned with a portable casa. It seems obvious that he revealed something to you.
Nen Yim studied the Adept appraisingly. Just so, she said. You are correct. But perhaps you ought to concentrate more on your work and less on my activities. Again the Adept looked abashed. You have great promise, Kila Quad, Nenyim said. But in this place we must all take care. We live outside the world of our people, and this place has rules of its own. The Adept straightened.
I am proud of my service here, Master. The Supreme Overlord has vindicated what the other Shapers see as heresy.
He has not. Nenyim said, not publicly, nor will he. Have you not noticed the guards?
Of course we are guarded. Our work is of great importance. If the infidels learn of us, they will surely try to destroy us.
That is true, Nenyim told her. But a wall that keeps something out can also keep something in. No warrior, no priest, no outside Shaper will ever learn what we do here. Shimra values our heresy, yes. We produce new weapons and technology badly needed for the war effort, but he will never allow anyone beyond these to know how that technology comes into being.
But why?
You are intelligent, Adept. Figure it out for yourself, and then never, never speak it aloud. Do you understand me?
I think so.
Good. Now leave me. Kila Quad made the sign of obeisance and did as she was told. Nen Yim spared her a single glance. Because, Adept, Shimra must maintain the fiction that our inventions are gifts from the gods, and that he is the intermediary through whom these things flow. If the truth is discovered and the Supreme Overlord shown to be a fraud— Well, suffice to say, Adept, none of us will leave this service alive. Which was fine with Nenyim. It was her pride and her duty to serve the Yuuzhan Vong, and to die honorably for her people when the time came. Putting the whole matter from her mind, she settled the casa before her and interfaced with it. As she began to understand, her excitement grew, and her trepidation. No wonder Shimra had sent her his thing. It could change everything. It could be their doom.